In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, the guys discuss 30 things you should stop doing to yourself. We give our insights and personal advice to the list of provided by LifeBuzz. Also, selfies, frozen Coke, and the witty and sarcastic Dorothy Zbornak. COL 262 starts now. May 25th, 2014. I'm Jeff.
Moo. Are you happy now?
I'm Damon.
Everybody dance now!
And that would make me Gary.
No, she didn't. Ooh, girl.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 262. And no, it's actually not the 25th yet. I'll admit it. We're pre-recording. But you know what? We wanted to take a week off. I've got a raid.
I can't believe you're giving the secret away.
I'm sorry.
Rude.
But I couldn't lie to people. But when people hear this, it will be at least May 25th, 2014. So, you know what?
Telling secrets up in this bitch. Come on.
Okay. So earlier today, I posted to Facebook that it was going to be a COL double feature and that you wouldn't get the second episode until next week anyway. So I already let it out. Meh.
You can't keep secrets for nothing, can you?
I'm so
So, what have you been doing this week,
Gary?
Well, I haven't been like mastering the controls to make people not talk. Anyways,
well, fine.
I went gay camping.
Yay!
And more importantly, I took cubbies with me.
Cubbies.
Uh-huh. Like multiple cubs.
Yes, multiple cubs. Ooh. I took a couple. The boys who have become good friends of mine and have been, to be honest, kind of busting their ass between their jobs for the past couple of years. They haven't really had a chance to take any type of a vacation.
Ah.
Because one of them is always working a weekend, and then usually the other one is working the other weekend. So probably for about a year and a half or 2 years, they've never really been able to get away. Mm-hmm. And so last weekend, well, no, hold on, 2 weekends ago, by the time people listen to the show, Mr. Jeff Rockhub did a performance at a campground.
Ah.
And I didn't know that he had already booked the gig until like the week of. It was like maybe Monday or Tuesday. It got promoted on Facebook. And so I reached out and I was like, are you performing at the campground? And he's like, yeah, I'm going this weekend. And I was like, oh. And he said, are you going to go camping? And I said, well, I might now. So I reached out to friends of mine that are seasonals there who I tend to stay with, and they were going to be there. But then I started thinking about it, and these two friends of mine are both about to move into new jobs. Interestingly, it's happening for both of them pretty much almost at the exact same time.
Hmm.
So, well, within a week or two. And so they're both moving from one position to another. One of them is staying in his industry. The other one is kind of moving in to a new industry realm. And so it's kind of a big deal that they're both going to have full-time jobs with benefits and like Yay. More pay. Right. So, and, you know, being that they're both in their 20s, like, you know, this is a progressive good move for career potential.
Hence cubbies.
Yes. And so they, so I decided to kind of give them an option for which they didn't have much refusal. And I said, I'm planning on going camping. I think you should go with me and I will pay.
Aww.
So, yeah. So, we went camping, and, to clarify, It was at a gay campground, all male, clothing optional in certain parts, in Ohio. And because as it was deemed at my roast at the run, I am considered by some to be a bear princess, which is kind of an inside joke. I do not do regular camping.
Oh, my.
I do not tent camp on the ground in the mud, that kind of thing. And let me clarify. I worked for three or four seasons at a campground resort in West Virginia as a business manager. And I was in the Boy Scouts. I was in the Cub Scouts. So I have tent camped. I have done Adirondack camping. I have done cabin camping. I have done snow winter camping and summer camping. I've done all of it. And I learned that I am just don't like sleeping on the ground. It's uncomfortable. I don't care if you have an air mattress. It deflates overnight, no matter what you do. Mm-hmm. You wake up in the morning, usually covered in dew, and it's cold in the morning. So I admit that I want to be comfortable. So I prefer a place that has four walls and a floor and a ceiling of some sort. It doesn't have to be fancy, but so in this case, because I was going to take the boys, I decided to get us a trailer that used to belong to some seasonals, and they sold it to the owners. So the owners renovated it on the inside. So, and they have a couple of them, and I took the trailer that was fully loaded, quote unquote, meaning it comes with its own like dishes and cooking utensils and linens and all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Has an air conditioning unit, a heating unit, fridge, stove, microwave, like, you know, but a trailer. So it's not, you know, it's kind of like living in like an itty bitty apartment.
Huh.
So we went and we had a really good time, and I'm glad that they got the experience. You know, we did a little fireside drinking, and we got to see Jeff perform, which was fun. And it was just a good time, and I'm glad that they got a chance to go away and kind of do something that's different. And I think they really kind of took to it, because there was conversation about when they have more time off and disposable income kind of stuff, that they would like to go do that again.
Nice.
So I was glad that they got an experience, so to speak, out of doing it. And you know, and I don't know, I just kind of think of it this way, like you get to do something you haven't done before. It was early season, so it was not a busy weekend. So it like wasn't overwhelming with people, and the pool was not open yet. So we didn't have that aspect. So it was like real camping, meaning, you know, we were either in the trailer or we walked around on the property. It's not like where it's more like going to a resort where everybody just hangs out at the pool all day long,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, which don't get me wrong. Like there's fun in that too, but they got to go meet some of the other folks that were there, and, you know, and have cocktails and drinks and socialize and get to be in a whole new environment where they don't know anybody, but they get to meet some people. And plus the good thing is there were people there that they knew. So like I was with them, and Jeff was there, and a couple other people that they know. So they, it wasn't like they just got dropped off someplace where they were complete strangers.
I'm looking at the campground website, and I'm looking at the retro rental trailer things. Those are kind of cool.
That's the one we stayed in, was the retro trailer. They have one, I think they call it the camouflage trailer, which I don't quite know where that one is. And then they also have the retro trailer. And it is. It's cute. It's fun.
Yeah.
I was not a fan of the fact that it looked like they murdered a feather boa to make the valance trim on the kitchen curtains. I said, this has to be one of the gayest things I've ever seen. But no, it was good. And so I was a gracious host, and the trailer sleeps four, it says. And so I gave the boys, because they're a couple, I gave them the bedroom and I took the couch.
No.
And it was good. And then a friend of ours came and visited for the afternoon. He didn't stay overnight. I'd offered, I said, you can stay with us if he wants. And he declined and decided that he wanted to go back home. But, it was good. It was fun to get away. And I was kind of glad I did it, because it got me in the summer mood.
Yay.
Like, it's got me thinking about, like summer's coming and, you know, Pride Month is coming up in June and there's all these things to be happening. So it was good. I recommend everybody get a little outdoors in your life. Do something fun. So that's what I've done.
Nice. Yeah.
I don't know what I've done.
I will know what I have done. I don't know what that's saying.
I'll probably have made at least a little more progress than my other two cloaks that I'm looking to get. So that's probably about it. And more raiding. That's the thing is, on weekends, I raid. In fact, funny story that happened last weekend was 2 weekends ago. Time travel. But 2 weekends ago, we were in raid and we're getting ready to do Gallicrass, and my two of the ladies in our raid team were talking about how many ladies there were. There was, you got two ladies and blah, 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 lady. And I go, and a gay man. And they were like, we do? Or we don't have a gay man or something like that. And I go, that's me. So nice. I came out to my raid team. And then they were like, well, they didn't really do anything. Nothing happened. We just did the boss and moved on. So I came out to my raid team. That's what I did last week.
Cool.
Time for this. All right. First off, before we crack our knuckles, I would like to say thank you to PDX Bear Lover for leaving a review on iTunes.
Woo-hoo!
He said,
"Yay!"
He says a barrel of laughs.
Barrel.
I love listening to the Cubs. Lately, they have been on a roll with more intimate, both sexy and emotional topics. Jeff Rockhub has been a great addition to the cast, or is he a frequent furry guest? Frequent furry guest, actually. But everybody is great. Looking forward to many more episodes. So thank you, PDX Bear Lover. We appreciate it. And yes, we'll probably have Jeff on again. Maybe next time we'll not surprise him with the topic.
He handled it well.
Yes, he did. All right, time to crack our knuckles again. Time to stretch. All right. So thank you to the following people who gave us a like on Facebook. Alex Rodriguez, Jeanette McKelly Sandoval Valladolid, Sean W., artist Stephen Telota, Billy Dolan, Alex Crawley, Daniel James Novick, David Olaskowski, or Olaskowitz. I think I got that right. Maybe I didn't. Gary Copley.
And then Albert Luvano, Mike Davis, Rob Tippenauer. Hey, Rob. Ernest Spencer, Dan Bridgewood, Arctic Boston, Seraph Wolfie, Randy Palmer, and Dave O'Kelly.
And Doug Memskaitin?
I'm thinking that's
Memphis, Blitalik.
Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it is? Man, I was actually trying to pronounce it like it was a word. Dan Zapata, Jennifer Hawkins. Hi, Jennifer. Al Teron Robinson, Rob Viet, Daryl Golby, John Patrick Carroll. Hey, Patrick. And Stanley Williams. And believe it or not, we are caught up.
Woohoo! That's everybody.
It only took us 2 months.
Woo! On a side note, my brother just tagged himself in the picture of my mom, my dad, and him in 1972 when he was only like 1 year old. So I just got a notification. I don't know why I said that. Never mind. Moving on. So that was my randomness. Moving on into something that's not so random. It's one of those episodes again where we have a list. 30 things to stop doing to yourself. And apparently number 10 is an absolute must. Or at least says so the article from lifebuzz.com. Damon, you found this. Tell us about it.
Well, ultimately, I
I can't remember where I found this because it's been a while since I found it. But ultimately, it's just a list of things that people need to stop doing about their lives and their choices that they do. And I mean, people make mistakes and whatnot, but it's an idea of things to give yourself a better life, I think. So, yeah, I'm glad we're doing it because I think we can take a little time and discuss these in some aspects.
So this isn't a BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
This is a different type of article. So we're not looking at humor here. We're looking at something that's a little bit more serious, I suppose. Or at least some things to keep in mind. Like number one, stop spending time with the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you think that's kind of hard to do sometimes? Like you might like somebody and it's really not the person you should be spending time with or something.
Yeah. I like kind of the thing it says, you know, life is too short to spend with people who suck the happiness out of you. I'm a big believer in that. You know, I don't need the negativity. You know, if you're not happy with yourself, then I don't really, you know, I don't need you around me because I'm pretty freaking happy. I'm happy with myself and I like where things are right now. And I'm working on improving things that I feel like I need to improve. So I don't need you over here being a negative Nancy about everything or a Debbie Downer about everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. To me, number one, I think a lot of this list for me in some ways might be a duh, but that's only because I've already learned them. So I can appreciate that other people might not understand why these are important, but I've had some people in my life that basically sucked the energy and the happiness out of my life, and that's why they're not around anymore.
Yeah.
And so for me, they were the wrong people. That's why I was like, no, I don't feel good when we spend time together.
Yeah.
Alrighty. It's not like somebody not spending around people who you get bored with.
Yeah, that's different.
That's a little bit different. Yeah, because that's not the wrong person. You just get bored.
Yeah.
Maybe number two, stop running from your problems. Face them head on. No, it won't be easy. There is no person in the world capable of flawlessly handling every punch thrown at them. We aren't supposed to be able to instantly solve problems. That's not how we're made. So,
yeah, I will admit I can be guilty of this one. You know, it's easier to, in a lot of ways, it's easier to avoid a problem than to try to confront it or fix it, but you need to do that in order for, if it's a, like, for example, if it's a problem with another person, for example, you need to fix that problem so that both of you can move on. And if it's just a problem with something in your life, even if something as trivial as, like, for me, I've often had issues with, like, well, the one thing, I have a wall unit in my, an AC wall unit that I've had forever. And is it working? I don't know. I randomly turn it on, like, especially in the summer. And this year, or last year, it started leaking inside the house, inside my apartment. And I was like, oh, what's going on? And instead of, you know, talking to the landlord who bought it and figuring out what to do with it, it took me about a week to do that, as opposed to and I ended up spending a lot of very warm days sitting in my apartment because I didn't turn. I just was like, oh, I just want to turn it on. Then I don't have to worry about it. And so this year I haven't turned it on yet, as at least as the AC part of it. And I've told myself, and I'm going to say, you know, if it's continually to leak, I'm going to replace it. When I talked to my landlord last year, he was like, if you're still having problems with it, just replace it and take the money out of your rent. And I'm like, okay. So I know what to do. I finally faced the problem. It took me a while to do it, but I finally did it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with Damon a little bit on this one, that I too, even though I admit to it and I know it, and I'm kind of like, well, yeah, obviously you should not run from your problems. It doesn't mean that you necessarily do handle things that way all the time. I think we prioritize how we handle things, and sometimes we just kind of postpone stuff instead of handling it immediately.
Yeah. Okay. Number three, stop lying to yourself. You can lie to anyone else in the world, but you can't lie to yourself. Our lives improve only when we take chances, and the first and most difficult chance is to take we can take is to be honest with ourselves. Does anything else really need to be said there?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
It's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah. All right.
Number four, stop putting your own needs on the back burner. The most painful thing is losing yourself to the process of loving someone too much and forgetting that you are special too.
Mm-hmm.
It is true. And I know I'm special. No one else seems to do that because I'm still single.
You are special. Anyway, no, but I...
Yeah.
yeah, I've seen... I don't think I do this myself, but I've seen other people do this, my mom in one instance, and it tends... You know, it ends up making you feel unfulfilled. I think that's a good word. Right. Yeah. Unfulfilled, you know, and that kind of sucks in and of itself.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Damon. This is kind of a learned trait. My parents are both absolutely guilty of this. And I don't mean that to, like, dog them. I just know as I've become an adult and I've grown up and I've been able to move them from the pedestal that we put them on as children, because they caretake for us. So we presume everything they do is the right way to do it because we don't know any different. And then as you get older, you kind of learn that some of the stuff they did the best they could, but they maybe didn't know how that was going to impact things. And so for me, both of my parents have done that. My mother was a registered nurse, you know, as a mainstay job for a couple decades. And I think that psychologically plays on you a little bit when you work in a caretaker role of any sort, where you give of yourself to others. That kind of takes a hit in other areas of your life unless you're conscious of that. Like if you really kind of put yourself and realize, oh, I need to take care of me so I can take care of my family, so I can take care of my loved ones, so I can take care of my friends or my neighbors, whatever it is. So yeah, I agree that it can be learned. And I know that I'm sometimes guilty of that. Like, I'll do things for other people before I do them for myself, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. All righty. Number five, which I think, stop trying to be someone you're not. One of the greatest challenges in life is being yourself in a world that's trying to make you like everyone else. Go ahead.
I agree with it. It makes me laugh a little bit. The first thing I thought of when you read it just now, Damon, is about how you need to be, you need to come out. Like that was the first thing I was like, oh, I did that back in the 90s. But then I did it again, like at the end of the 90s when I kind of came around to the bear community. But then what really kind of hit home was the idea of just being yourself instead of joining the crowd. I think what's interesting about society is marketing and PR is all about being included instead of being excluded. And so I think our messages are mixed and actually counterproductive, and they're confusing, especially to the youth, because we say, buy these jeans, you will be accepted because you will be sexy. And then at the same time, we keep telling them, be an individual, do your own thing.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, so which is it? Do I buy the jeans? Do I not buy the jeans? Like, and I struggled with that as in my youth. Like, it's like I wanted to be accepted. And my dad actually said to me once, I can appreciate that you like want to like have friends because that's what your social structure is. He didn't quite say it in those words, but he basically said, in 20 years time, these people will not be in your life. So just keep that in mind, which was really weird to say to someone who was like 13 or 14, who was like desperately wanting to be part of like a social group. Because I felt like an outcast for several reasons, you know, realizing I was gay, but not wanting to deal with it, being in band and in choir, being artistic and not, you know, sports driven. And it's so funny, like how as I grew up, I tried to remember that. And then all of a sudden one day it just kind of clicked and I was like, yep, dad was right. Like those people from that time frame, not hardly in touch with any of them at all.
Yeah.
They don't mean anything. And it's not to be dismissive of them. It's just how your life changes and goes into a different place, so to speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will admit to being guilty of this. I'm a lot of things. Let's see. I do leather. I do drag. I'm a cub. I'm a singer. I'm an artist. I do theater. You know, I have all these things about me, and I love doing all those things. But to some people, certain parts of it aren't particularly something that they're interested in or want to, you know, associate with. But, I will admit, I've had myself like I won't necessarily mention it, because I know sometimes that there's some trepidation about certain parts of it. But at the same time, I realize if I'm not true to myself and not being myself, then they're not going to really know me. They're going to know a part of me or a piece of me, but they won't know the full me. Okay.
Yeah. Awkward.
It's one of those things. It's one of those things where it's like, well, I'm not trying to be someone I'm not in the first place. So it's like feels irrelevant to me. I don't know. I think I still have kind of like a different personas, or like when I'm here on this show, I seem like one person. But then when you come see me in real life, I'm something a little bit different. But the only thing is, that's me.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm. It's when I perform on the podcast, I'm not really performing. It's just, it's an outlet, I suppose. Yeah. Something that if I'm out face to face, like I say, I get bored of bars. Because I'm a major wallflower, I'm shy. But when you listen to me on the show, do I sound like I'm shy? Do you hear the shit that comes out of my mouth? I'm not shy, and it as shy. So it's weird how somebody could look at it being like, but Jeff, you're so yourself on the podcast. You're out and about and everything like that. And then when you go out to the bar, you're like, can I go home now? You know, a completely different me. But the thing is, they're both me. So there, one thing to also think about is when you say stop trying not to be yourself, it really means a performance. If you're trying to perform to somebody to make somebody like you or something, well, if they wouldn't like the real you, then don't worry about them. Just let them go away, because they don't like you. Whether they only like your act, they like your character, but they don't like you. And the point is you, mm-hmm. not your character. So there's times to act and perform. Like the one thing that I would say to be somewhat not like you is probably a little bit on an interview. Because you're trying to say yourself, that's where you're putting on performance, but you also have to realize it still has to project, because if they do hire you, they will find the real you. So you need to project mm-hmm. that confidence during it, do that performance that's not entirely the real you. Then when you're at work and when they do hire you and you get on, you know, kind of keep that to that ideal, but still be yourself. So you might not be exactly what they were expecting, but not something that they would want to get rid of. So, so there are times to do your act, but don't act. I mean, it's you have to kind of look into yourself. So that, and also know what is the real you.
Yeah.
Because some people have been acting for so long, they think their character is the real them. So you need to be like, well, let me sit down and think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Number six. Stop trying to hold on to the past. This is very true for me, considering how long has it been? 8 years ago? Yeah. 8 years ago? No. 7 years ago, I lost my partner.
Mm.
I moved down here. 10 months later, he died.
Mm.
And I can't hold on to that. He was my partner, and I wanted to be with him forever. I really did feel that strongly for him. And he left. He left me behind in Sonnet behind. And I still have Sonnet, so I still have a reminder of him. I still have a picture of me and him when I was visiting one time. But I can't, it's been 7 years. I mean, remember it, think of it, but I gotta let go.
Yeah.
This is probably an extreme of what they're referring to here, that sometimes some shit happens and you just need to move on.
Yeah.
You can't use it as, because way back then this happened, I can't do this now. Are you sure? I mean, think about it. Can you actually, like, can I have a new partner? No? Not that I've been had any luck finding any, but I'm fine. I could still have a new partner. We can move on. But I can't hold on to that thing. It's like, no, Carl was my only love. I will never marry again. So, that's too true. Any other comments?
I think when it comes to your past, you just have to be careful about the fact that you don't make it an anchor that holds you from taking your journey to someplace else.
Yeah.
Remember it, but it's kind of like a tip. It's not something you have to follow.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer, and I can't remember who wrote this, but I'm a believer. Those that forget the, I'm summarizing, those that forget the past are destined to repeat it, are doomed to repeat it. I'm a believer in that, but at the same time, don't hold on to it, which is kind of what this is referring to, in that you know it's there, and you, if you did something weird or wrong and you made a mistake or error and you learned something from it, that's fine. You know, the next time you encounter that, to not make the mistake, same mistake or whatever. But if you keep kind of reliving the past thing you did, then you're never going to, you're going to keep cycling. And so, yeah. So, okay. Number seven, stop being scared to make a mistake.
I don't think there's much to say about that one.
Yeah.
Because the one thing to remember is to learn from your mistakes. So if you make a mistake, hopefully it's not like some tragic error or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, you accidentally hit, put your hand onto the stove. Don't do that again. Now you know how hot it is. Don't do it again.
I like what it says here. Doing something and getting it wrong is at least 10 times more productive than doing nothing. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. And I think of it this way, like a long time ago when I first came into the Bear community, someone that I looked up to, well, I had a crush on, had said to me, they gave me a quote and they basically said, Just because something might be embarrassing isn't good enough reason to not do it.
This is true.
I try to hold that thought in mind when I get hesitant about doing something, because I'm worried about how people are going to see me or view me or what they're going to think of me, because that's a tape, that's a program I taught myself a long, 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 long time ago. So, yeah, it just takes a little time to get used to something and figure it out, or just be bold and do something different.
Mm-hmm. Hear, hear.
Agreed. Next. Stop berating yourself for old mistakes. Yeah. Going back to things about not holding, letting the past hold on to you for the longest, for at least a couple of weeks, and on occasion, I keep thinking, Carl and I should have never gone to BlizzCon or Gen Con. Because we had just gotten back from Gen Con. A few days later, he died. So I'm thinking we should have stayed here, made sure he was treated by the best medical people. Maybe I made some sort of mistake while assisting him with getting what he needed done during the trip. You know, so I keep having these things of what these mistakes that I did. And so that's probably more of an extreme thing, but it's the first thing that comes to mind when it comes to berating myself for old mistakes. There was nothing I could have done, so yeah, it really doesn't matter.
I'm a big believer of the shoulda, woulda, couldas. You know, don't, you know, shoulda, woulda, couldas, you know, if I should have done this, I could have done that, I would have done, or this would have happened kind of thing. If you keep that in your mind and you keep, you know, like you said, berating, keep thinking, well, if I had done this, or if that had happened, or if you know, if we have, you know, it, yeah, it's just, you're just going to keep, once again, it's, to me, it's a big believer in that cycle. You're going to keep cycling. You're never going to keep going. You're that little circle now. It's now a circle as opposed to the hourglass turning. But, you know, the constant turning on the computer screen, waiting for something to load kind of thing. It's never going to end. You're never going to get your image. You're never going to keep moving forward. You're just going to be sitting there cycling.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair.
Also, stop trying to buy happiness, number nine. I think this is trying to deviate from, or to show the affluent nature that a lot of people have about, like, I need more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or I need to buy this and buy that and acquire things and hoarding. Well, maybe not hoarding, but still. But happiness should come for free. You may have stuff, but that's not what's going to make you happy. So down with affluence. Although I got this lovely iPad.
I was wondering how long that was going to take.
It's called, yeah, irony.
You know, it's one of those things where material things won't fill the void that you probably need from the happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you won't, you know, you can have a whole bunch of shit. You can have a really nice house and nice, you know, car and really nice clothes and all this shit and this, that, and the other. But you know what? If that's what you base your life on what you have, you don't really have much of a life.
Whoa, deep.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I look at it this way from a significant life experience that happened for me a couple of years ago. I just learned to ask myself the question, does it matter in the end? Meaning, can you take it with you? Like, what priority, are you giving it, so to speak? And that really kind of put a new focus on my life, because now I'm like, meh. Like, I quit buying a lot of stuff. I mean, I still buy things, but like collectibles, things to have, like, it's important, but it's not important, because I guess I just kind of looked at it like it's just more stuff, and eventually someone else is going to have to deal with it. So for me personally, I just kind of use that as a measurement now of whether or not I want to get something else or have something else.
Mm-hmm. I can understand that one. Okay. Number 10, which was the one they said is awesome.
It's an absolute must.
It's an absolute must. Stop exclusively looking to others for happiness. If you're not happy with who you are on the inside, you won't be happy in a long-term relationship with anyone else either. You have to create stability in your own life first before you can share it with someone else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what all to say other than I agree.
Yeah. I think we've kind of hit this a couple of times. You're not going to find happiness in other things. Therefore, you're not going to find happiness in other people either. You know, you're going to have to make yourself happy before you can really be with someone else. I guess maybe that's it. Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, this is what I've said to people. You have to, I think, the best way to benefit your own life is to learn how to be happy in your own space, in your own way. So that way, when you share it with other people, it's natural and it makes sense. And then, like, it, the meld is a little bit more legit, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of like forcing into something like, well, I because he likes this, I'm going to like it. It's like, no, that doesn't work.
Yeah. Moving on.
Number 11. 11. Stop being idle, which I think is kind of interesting. Don't think too much or you'll create a problem.
I need to go do laundry. I need to go do this. I need to go do that. Is it basically just saying don't just sit on your ass and watch TV?
Yeah, but like the one sentence that stands out the most is making progress involves risk.
Period.
Like, so in order to achieve something, you have to try something. That's all there is to it.
I like the analogy. You can't make it to second base with your foot on first.
Look, I tried kimchi. I still don't like it.
Yeah.
I have eaten some fish. I still don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's about exactly. You know, if you can't. God, I hate this thing. You can't say you don't like something if you've never done it.
How can you say you don't like broccoli? Have you even tried it?
Yeah, like I've had the. I was reading. I watched yesterday some guy talking about Sailor Moon, an anime. And someone posted, it was on YouTube, and someone posted on a comment, I've never watched anime. I think this is stupid. I'm like, if you've never watched the show, first of all, or if you've never seen a single anime, you have no place to make a comment like that. Because clearly, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Exactly.
Like, here I am talking about Kamen Rider Forza. As I said right at the beginning, I'm like, okay, let's take a look over the next season in Kamen Rider. The last one was actually pretty cool with O's. That was actually kind of cool with the medals. That was awesome. Now it's a guy spaces awesome. What? He's got this stupid white head, which looks like a rocket, and it's all that's so stupid. Wait a minute. He wants to be the butt of everybody in the high school. And then you go on, and then you go on, and you go on. And then by the end, you're crying. See, but I couldn't have gotten to that if I hadn't gone through those first couple of episodes.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not going to tell you try it.
Yeah. Number 12. Stop thinking you're not ready. Nobody ever feels 100% ready when an opportunity arises, because most great opportunities in life force us to grow beyond our comfort zones, which means we won't feel totally comfortable at first.
Every interview I've ever gone to. Except maybe, oh, wait a minute, the Apple one I didn't really have an interview for. Yeah. I had an interview with the person at Volt, but I didn't actually interview with Apple. So.
Yeah. I think what this one is, you know, kind of reiterating the point, stepping out of your comfort zone. You know, you're never going to get comfortable with something immediately. I mean, you know, I was going to make a really bad joke about sex, but you know, if you don't try it, you're not going to know you don't like it.
Mm-hmm. Well, but that's just it. I mean, I was going to say the same thing almost, Damon, in regards to sex. It's kind of like, listen, the first time most of us get it in the ass, it hurts. So
I think we've all experienced it at least once, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think just because your initial presumption or reaction or whatever is not necessarily a good one doesn't mean it should be completely written off. And people like that actually annoy the shit out of me when they're kind of like, well, I did it once and I absolutely hated it. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. But like your whole black, white, never again attitude doesn't benefit you. But that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like to do 13 and 14 kind of at the same time.
Sure.
Just because they kind of feel one and the same. Number 13.
Whatever, you kinky fuck.
Hey. Listen to you.
This isn't the Kama Sutra, bitch. Listen to you. I want to do 13 and 14 at the same time.
Shut up.
Okay, bend over.
Put one hand on the wall, one hand on the floor, put your left foot up on the ceiling. Anyways.
It's got to be a small room to do that.
Number 13, stop getting involved in relationships for the wrong reasons. And number 14, stop projecting new relationships just because old ones didn't work.
Right.
The reason I believe these are one of the same, are kind of following the same lines is the whole, you know, stop getting involved in relationships for the wrong reason is, you know, like the big one for me is like you're lonely and you want to be in a relationship just so you're not alone. I've had that happen. I've been a part of that, and they're just not beneficial to you or the person you're trying to get involved with. They never are. But at the same time, you know, just because you've had a bad experience in a relationship doesn't mean you can't keep yourself open and available to the possibility and prospect of being in one. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you, Damon. I've made some not so great relationship choices in the past. I don't regret them. I mean, I learned from them. But you get wiser, I think, as you get older. You learn from things and then you look back. So definitely for me, I feel that it's something you can learn from. Mm-hmm. You know,
I agree. I just the stop, you know, stop rejecting new relationships because old one didn't work kind of falls along the lines, same lines of like past mistakes and holding on to your past and all of that stuff. You're not, it's going to be different. It just will be, you know, and if you see the same trends in the relationship that you had in the past, address them. Communicate. Tell the person, like, I'm I really have an issue when you call me at certain times when I've kind of asked you to do it, you know, or whatever. It's all a matter of communicating, especially in a relationship.
And one. So
yeah.
Okay. So let's move on here. Number 15. Stop trying to compete with everyone else. I actually think that number 16 kind of goes along with this. Stop being jealous of others.
Yeah.
Because, you know, jealousy can cause some competition. But I also think that, you know, some healthy competition. Actually, I think Gary probably said that earlier when the things didn't stop recording. Having that healthy competition where you just basically are setting goals to help improve yourself. For example, like at my last job, we did, you know, I was taking payments for mortgages. So who can get the most payments each month? Who can get the most repayment plans? How are we doing versus this? This person got 20 repayment plans. This person got 250 payments. I don't think we've ever gotten 250. I think 200 was the high mark I've gotten. Anyways, it doesn't matter. but it's this competition of who can get the most. And does it hurt that somebody gets less? No.
No.
It's just your goal is to beat this person and try to, or beat your own numbers. Like, okay, I got 10 repayment plans last month. I'm going to try for 12 this month. You know, and it sets you a goal, and it is a competition. Either you're competing yourself or you're competing with somebody else. But in the end, no one gets hurt for one person winning, one person losing. It doesn't matter who wins, who loses. It's just kind of that friendly competition. So I think a little bit of competition, competing against everyone else. I suppose what they mean is that everyone in the world. But sometimes a little bit of competition can kind of motivate you in certain places. And same for jealousy, for example.
Yeah.
To kind of sum this up. You know, ooh, you've got a shiny new iPad. I have the iPad 1. What do you do? Well, your jealousy for wanting their brand new iPad. Just get your own iPad. So you spend a couple months, do a little bit of overtime, maybe make some extra cash on the side. You got a brand spanking new iPad, which is even newer than the one that the other person had because they just did a revision. By the way, yes, I'm currently working at Apple. I have no knowledge about when things are released, so I have no idea if they're going to be releasing a new iPad in the next month or two. So I have no idea. It's full disclosure on that.
Awesome.
But an example, because, you know, about a month before the iPad 2 came out, I got my iPad 1.
Isn't that great? You got an iPad. Shut the fuck up. No.
No, I'm kidding. I have two iPads.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Moving on.
Number 17, stop complaining and feeling sorry for yourself. Stop.
I think that's pretty straightforward.
Stop.
I kind of like the image they got here of a fox standing on his nose.
Yeah. I'm a big believer in stop feeling bad about whatever, whether it's something that you don't have or something that you want. You know, and there are reasons to feel bad and sad and whatnot, but at some point you're going to have to move on. And if you keep holding on to that negativity, you're not going to go anywhere. Okay. Speaking of negativity, number 18, stop holding grudges. I think we did talk about this before, but
to reiterate here.
Yeah. Meaning I can understand having a grudge and whatnot, but don't hold on to it because there's probably a reason why you're holding on to it, whether it's you don't want to associate with the person that you're holding the grudge against, or you don't feel like you did the best that you could, or whatever, whatever that reason, figure out what that reason is and get the get over the grudge, or, you know, make amends if you need to, or forgive the person if you need to forgive them. Yeah, let it go. Let it go. For God's sake. Yeah. For God's sake, let it go.
Agreed. Again, you might have a grudge, but don't let it hold you back or anything. Just let it go. Moving on, number 19, I think of pants when it comes to this. Stop letting others bring you down to their level. I'm sorry, it's not, sagging pants are not fashionable. They never were. You just look like a moron. I don't care that you're wearing underwear or another pair of shorts underneath them. They were never fashionable, and walking around like a penguin is just stupid. So stop it, and stop letting people think you have to bring your pants down to their level.
That's a really weird analogy.
Yeah, but it's true. I mean, don't let anybody sag your pants, I suppose, is the analogy to use.
I think I like the
around your waist.
I like the whole refuse to lower your standards to accommodate someone who refuses to raise theirs. This is yourself. If you are happy with yourself and love yourself, you know, and you can't find someone who wants to kind of raise up to you, you don't need them in your life. Or if not married, maybe not raise up to you is not the word, but if you, you know, you don't need to go down on someone else's. God, that sounds really sexual.
Crap.
Yeah. Anyway, you don't need to. You don't need to lower yourself to make someone else feel good. That's what I'm going for. There you go. Okay.
I guess we don't have any more to say on that. So stop wasting time explaining yourself to others.
Number 20. I like what it says here. Your friends don't need it, and your enemies won't believe it anyway. Just do what you know in your heart is right.
You know, one of my friends said, here's how do you explain anything that I do. It's Jeff. That's just the answer. You know what? Sometimes it's like one of those things where I'm like, what? I can't believe they do that. You know what? It's just them.
Yeah.
And that's just it. You just kind of be. I hate to go back to Kamen Rider Forza. But Gintaro, our hero, he's trying to befriend everybody in the school. And he one of the ways where somebody's like resisting his friendship or resisting that he is their friend. He says, I will accept everything about you, whatever that is. I don't care. I'll accept it. I think that's the kind of the idea here is you shouldn't have to explain it to everybody. And same for you to them is, they don't have to explain themselves to you, like what they are.
Yeah.
You know, accept them for who they are. And if you can't accept them, like as it says, your friends don't need it. Again, my friend said, it's Jeff. Why? Because they don't need to explain. It's just me.
Yeah, I would agree.
Mm-hmm.
So 21. Stop doing the same things over and over without taking a break.
such as podcasting. Yeah. We made sure that before this show, we took a break before we did another show. It's not like we're going to marathon shows. Are you kidding me? No, we took a break.
I would say this one out of the whole list of 30 surprised me. I wasn't expecting this to be listed. And I had to read it twice because I was like, what? Stop doing this. Because I thought it was going to say, stop doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Meaning, you know, don't get yourself crazy. And then I was like, oh, what they're saying is, you know, take time for time. Mm-hmm. So if you have something that you have to do over and over again, just make sure that you take a break before you continue on with whatever that is. So
it helps prevent carpal tunnel. there's also some things that help your eyes. Hey, we did this whole at Apple, we have this ergonomics thing. And so one of the things in the training is like every once in a while for example, for eyes, the 20-20-20. You know what that is?
Every 20 minutes you take 20 seconds to do something 20 times?
Nope. You're close. So you'd be looking at 20 feet away every 20 minutes for 20 seconds. That's what the 20-20-20 is.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So what's that? So that's what that's probably what they mean by taking breaks.
Yeah.
So do stuff like that. And like, if you've been typing a lot, make sure to do some stretches or something like that. Just because you're sitting in one place, that's also doing something over and over again too.
Yeah.
So I learned a lot of nerd when it came to your ergonomics. Moving on. Number 22. Stop overlooking the beauty of small moments. Every time there's a storm and there's lightning, I look for it. Brady.
I love... okay, this is going to get really sappy. So... my husband's eyes change colors depending on his mood. So when he's really happy, I can tell because I know the color. I also know when he's mad. I also know when he's horny based on the color of his eyes. But the eye, he has hazel eyes. So sometimes they tend to get more blue. Sometimes they're green. Sometimes they're brown. And I just I love that about it because it not only shows me his views, but it's so beautiful when I can look at him and kind of see how he's feeling and everything. I live near a park. And every day after work, I stop in the park on my way home. And I always find something really nice to just take a moment and look at, whether it's there are geese and swans in near the ponds. If it's sometimes there's kids playing, flora. You know, trees and whatnot and everything. So I just, I'm a big fan of just looking at those little things every once in a while.
My one of my favorite small moments, because it lasted for a second, maybe two, was when Sonnet and I got really close to a squirrel. I got to see something from Sonnet that I haven't seen. I don't think ever. I'm not sure if I've ever really seen it. But her hunter instincts, she almost got that squirrel. Ooh. She had it in her mouth. I swear. But it got away. So, but it was just weird. We're walking along and I'm like, why isn't this squirrel taken off? And she had gotten right behind him. Then all of a sudden he starts moving and she immediately pounces.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh... And then the squirrel got away, and I'm like, that was awesome. I got to see your hunter instincts. So there was beauty in that kind of brutal moment.
Yeah.
So that's my my observations. Stop trying to make things perfect.
Gary.
What? You throw in shade, bitch? Is that what that is?
Just a little. Just
uh-huh.
A
little.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
He's our planner and whatnot and does things. And sometimes people who like to plan are looking for to make things perfect.
Okay. How about we read the rest of that description where it clearly says the real world doesn't reward perfectionists. It rewards people who get things done.
And you get things done, even if it's not perfect.
Right.
Exactly.
It's like just because I like things a certain way does not mean that it has to be perfect.
Right.
Shade of it all.
Before anybody gets into more and more trouble, stop following the path of least resistance. Well, sometimes the path of least resistance is okay because it just happens to be a nice, easy path. But if there's something that's a little bit harder that might help improve yourself because there's some resistance, you know. Have you ever heard of resistance training?
Yeah.
Same thing. And that's for other things, too.
You're going to grow a certain way, but you're not going to fully grow if you stay on that, just keep doing, you know, the simplest and easiest of things.
Mm-hmm. It's okay to make a mistake. I think we said that earlier, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Number 25, stop acting like everything is fine if it isn't.
You know what? This show is going perfectly. We've had absolutely no problems whatsoever. This has been a great and perfect. And so you were saying?
I will admit to doing this on more than one occasion than I care to admit. Not everything's fine. And I think I learned this from my parents. Just in the sense that my mother tends to bottle emotions up and everything's fine if you say it's fine, but you know it's not fine. It's not fine. And I myself tend to have that issue happen a lot of times. You know, and if I admit it to myself at least. And if it's with someone else, I have to tell them too. But if, you know, don't say it's fine, because it's not. And no matter how many times you tell yourself, it's not going to get any better.
Well, I will say this. I agree with this, but I slightly disagree from the standpoint of take into account the circumstances and the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So as an example, when we put on the run event weekend, if something isn't going right or there's an issue, we as a committee keep acting and moving on like there's nothing wrong while we're dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last thing you need is drama because of some shit that's happening. So I appreciate when I get the feedback and people say, I didn't know there was a problem with blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean? Like, because we didn't make a big deal of it. We acted like everything's fine. People didn't know. So I think it's about circumstance. But I agree wholeheartedly that you should not act like everything's fine if it isn't. So, like, you know, it's about – you just have to take it into account what is exactly happening. Like, if you're in a building and it's on fire, don't act like it's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, if, you know, something's happening and it doesn't affect everybody or even a significant enough group of people, don't make a big deal of it.
Yeah. I agree. I agree with that one.
Number 26, stop blaming others for your troubles. Word.
Word.
It's all Uber Caster's fault. I think that pretty much covered everything.
I'm just saying it's yeah. It's nobody's fault, but well, I won't say that fully. It's nobody's fault. But
it might be somebody's fault, yeah, but you know what? You blame them, you move on.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, well, when it comes to your troubles is one thing. You kind of have to be like, whatever, move on. But if somebody just makes a mistake, well, they're learning something.
Yeah.
Stop trying to be everything to everyone. That's all right. I'm good with that.
Yeah, you're not going to be everything to everyone. And events are not going to be everything to everyone. Mm-hmm. The chorus is not going to be everything to everyone.
Everybody dance now!
There you go.
Find your own path and joy in something, and don't expect someone else to find it for you. Yeah.
Spewing mantras. That's what we're doing.
But I do like that. But making, doing so is impossible, and trying will only bring you out. But making one person smile can change the world. Maybe not the whole world, but their world. So narrow your focus. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Oh, I love the picture too.
Yeah. I'm not so fond of the food choice. Although the wishbones I'm good with. But I kind of prefer my nature's recipe, easy to digest. Anyways, moving on. Stop worrying so much. I agree. This one is totally me. I don't worry that much. Mm-hmm. I get mad at things.
Like Uber Caster. Actually, MacBook. I don't think it's Uber Caster.
I'm one of those things where I'm like, sometimes I think I don't worry enough. Because it's like, if something happens, how am I going to pay my rent this month?
Mm-hmm.
And then what I do is I calculate. It's like, okay, I got this much for this check. I got two more checks this month. Good. Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, but that takes a few minutes. If you have a problem that you can worry about, you know, start off by crafting a solution. That way once you've got the solution, whether it's completed or not, you don't have to worry because you're going to be resolving it.
True.
Mm-hmm. And don't take that. You can worry about something that might take some time to get done, but you know, stop, relax, stop thinking about it for a while. You know, watch some TV, watch some Kamen Rider Forza. And just kind of relax and sit back and be like, if it's not something you can take care of now, you definitely don't need to worry about it. You just need to remember to get back to it later. But yeah. All that's going to do is cause more stress in your life, which is not healthy. So stop worrying so much. Stop it. Also, stop focusing on what you don't want to happen.
If you
don't want it to happen, what do you want to happen?
I'm guilty of that one. Stop focusing on what you don't want to happen. Because I try to predict things, and because I kind of try to see things as they go to their inevitable conclusion, as it were. Mm-hmm. And I tell myself, I know what's going to happen, so I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to do that or do this or, you know, talk to that person or whatever. But if I don't want it to happen, I'm never going to know if it actually will happen or won't happen if I don't do anything. And that's what kind of happens. If I focus on what I don't want to happen. I end up not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think this is. Or part of it anyway.
I still think I should have laying underneath this the song Everybody's Free. Stop focusing on what you don't want to happen and what you do. Number 30, stop being ungrateful. No matter how good or bad you have it, wake up each day thankful for your life. Someone somewhere else is desperately fighting for theirs. Instead of thinking about what you're missing, try thinking about what you have that everyone else is missing. Like my sauna boots. Sonnet.
Aww.
Sonnet's on the bed, and she's like, "What do you want?"
Yeah, I agree with this one too. Yeah, be thankful. You know, if, like for you know, if someone holds the door open for you, or if you, passed by someone, or you know, it's just little things like that, you know, just say thanks. Every little bit helps, and you never know who else is going to help.
Or if you don't want to say thanks, say sinks. Or spanks.
Nice.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. The only thing that probably is a universal thing that bugs me is when people don't appreciate what people do for others.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, so when you mentioned about like the, you know, the door thing, I'm absolutely that type. Like I try to hold the door open for other people and I say thank you when they hold it open for me. It's just the way I was raised. It's a courtesy kind of thing to be that way to others.
Mm-hmm. Do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that irritates me is I took for, you know, it sounds bad, but I took the time to kind of do this for you. And if you can't at least say thank you or acknowledge it, you're going to get a door slammed in your face next time or whenever I see it. Because I love doing that. And like you said, it's courtesy and respect and whatnot. But there are times when you know someone's holding the door for you. Like, you know, understand they're taking time to do this. You know, don't make it all about you and take forever to get there. Or whatever, and then don't say, and then say something, or acknowledge it. Even a head nod, or a just a smile, is a way to say you're thankful for what it was, what someone did for you.
Right, because I can understand and appreciate if a person's shy.
Mm-hmm.
Or culturally, they demur, like they don't really know how to respond when mm-hmm. someone's nice to them. I get that, and I'm okay with that. Like I can usually read that and be like, oh, okay. Like I don't get upset about that. I'm more irritated about the people that don't do anything. And then usually I'm the one. It depends on the mood that I'm in, but sometimes I'll get real snarky and I'll be like, "You're welcome," because they don't say thank you, and it's like, whatever.
All right. And that's the end of the list. Yay. Moving on.
Time for this.
Aw, so sweet. I got a picture of two guys kissing.
Aw.
Okay. It's adorable. I think the guy on the right is kind of like, ooh, hello.
Okay. Oh, I've seen this one. I've been seeing this on my Tumblr a few times. They're cute. It's very cute.
Adorable.
Adorable.
It's loading. That's why I haven't said anything. Oh, yeah. It's part of a series, though, I think.
Hmm. I would like to see the rest of it.
I'm pretty sure, because I'm pretty sure the guy on the left I've seen doing a bunch of things.
Well.
It's not the little heathens, are they?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Okay. Anyways, it's cute. So, aw, so sweet. Damon.
I call this one Damn, because damn. This hit so many fucking buttons for me.
Ooh, you went vintage.
Yes, I know. It's an older vintage pick. I'll use vintage.
No. It's been vintaged.
Oh.
Yeah. I think this is from Bear Magazine layout.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why I said old school, like vintage. I think this is from late 80s, early 90s.
Well, anyway.
Because I think this might be a Lynn Ludwig picture without credit being given. Shame on them.
Well, boo. Boo to that, but thank you, whoever put this picture in my Tumblr feed. Because just so many fucking buttons. The beard, the fur, the belly, the eyes, the dick. And then from the artistic standpoint, I like the I know it's an older photo, but I also like that it's kind of it looks like it's maybe in an older house and everything. And it just like I said, it just hitting all the right buttons. An artistic standpoint as well as a physical hot damn. The only thing I wish is that the window bar was just a little lower so I can see his nipples. But that's it. Because I like nipples. But although I think, no, that's just fur. Never mind. But yeah, I like this picture. Damn.
Nice.
Understandable. Mine doesn't have a title, so I called it Yes, Please.
Wow.
And I don't think I have ever seen a picture like this. Exactly like this, I should say. Because it's a selfie. But notably, the hot guy that's having the selfie, he has a big, beautiful dick right next to his face, like resting on his cheek almost.
Yeah.
And it's not erect. It's like you presume it's like his husband or something. And it's quite comical because the first time I saw it, I was like, what the
hell? It's like his husband was just walking around naked. And yeah. He was getting ready for work. And all he did was just to be kind of silly was he says, hold on a second, what? And it's like, what? And then he just quickly gets down on his knees, puts his head against his husband's leg, and takes a selfie.
Right. Or he was going to take a picture of himself, and his husband walks up to him while he's seated on the floor or something. It just kind of like, it just kind of goes. Photobomb.
Got photobombed by a dick. Is that what you're thinking? I was saying... I'm about to suck on this dick, but first let me take a selfie.
Yeah, that's funny. That probably is more accurate as a description for the title. But, yeah, no, but I'm like, I say yes to both. I say yes to the guy that has the selfie because he looks hot and I like his beard. And I say yes to the man that's with him that stuck his dick in the picture. So, yes, all around.
Yes, please.
Yes.
And dick photobombing is invented.
Nice.
I like dick photobombing. Let's have more. Yes,
dick bombing.
You know what? Maybe that's a new Tumblr feed. Dick bombing. And to say the only pictures that will be posted on this blog would be anything where a dick shows up outside of the main thing. I don't know. I don't like that. Anyways, moving on. Into the links. Who's going first?
Hold on.
Damon.
Okay,
Damon, right. Go ahead and go first.
Okay.
I was getting confused.
Yeah. So I will do – this is a really quick, simple video that I found. I forget. I think someone on either Facebook or Google Plus posted it, shared it. But it's self-freezing Coca-Cola, although I don't believe that should be the title because technically you put it in the freezer for a few hours. So it's not really self-freezing. It, you know. You put it in the freezer. It just freezes upon doing these little tricks, but I think it's fun looking and hilarious, and I love the idea behind it. And I would like to have one, please. I used to love the frozen Coke at the gas stations and whatnot.
Okay.
But it's kind of cool if you kind of look at it.
Yeah, I gotta watch it because I'm not sure if it's doing what I think it's doing or not.
If I'm remembering.
Oh yeah, I did see this before.
Yeah. But anyway, it's just a really cool idea, and you shake up the soda and then you put it in the freezer, and then a few hours later, three hours and 15 minutes, depending, and that'll be time based on your freezer. You pull it out, and then you can have this frozen Coke.
Right.
Yeah. And I do a few other things with it too, like even just pouring it out. It's kind of fun. So yeah, enjoy.
Whoa, huh? Science is cool.
Yeah,
science kita. Sorry. Sorry.
I love the one where you pull it out. Thank you. And it freezes while you pour. Anyway, okay.
Moving on. Okay, my turn. So this is another one of my videos. So a week or so ago, I went and got shorts. I got new shorts because I had some shorts, but I went out to walk Sonnet. And as I bent over to pick up some of her poop, they ripped right down the crotch area. So I quickly finished my walk with Sonnet and went inside and was very upset because that was my last pair of shorts. Aww. I have any other shorts. It was hot out. I'm not going to be wearing jeans if I don't have to work. So I was a little upset because I didn't have any shorts. So I went and got shorts. So I just ran to Target, got some shorts. So I was like, I want to show these off. And I was like, okay, let me take some selfies with the wearing these. And then I was like, no, I got a better idea. Shorts. And I have got four pairs of shorts. I got my, I just kind of stay at home lounging plaid, light plaid shorts that I can use. I can walk Sonnet in them and everything and fine. Then I've got my khakis. Mm-hmm. And then I've got these, this other type of shorts, which I still haven't figured out how I'm going to use them. They're black plaid, but they're a little more fancier, kind of, sort of. But they're not, you know, something that I could comfortably wear. And then I got the regular standard green denim or blue denim shorts.
Hmm.
And, of course, I couldn't just show you these. I had to do something. So what I did was I started up the recording. I walked away. Did a twirl, come back, shook my booty, and then stopped it, switched shorts, did it all over again. So, and then I was like, hey, this is kind of cool. I can't just use your audio. That would just be boring. So I went looking in through my archive, and I got one of my favorite musicians in all the world, especially Naked, Nikia.
Aww.
And I got his song Walking on a Slant, and I played that underneath it. And of course there's a link to the song on Google Play, iTunes, Amazon MP3 and eMusic on the video as well, so you can get your own copy of the song Walking on a Slant and support Nikia, whatever. And it's only like a minute 40 seconds, so it's really short, but my favorite part is it's directed by me but starring my shorts. So one thing that you probably want to do right away, because ads play over it, you want to, whenever the ad pops up, just click it off. Yeah. So that you can see it, because the shorts are usually right where they're showing it. So the music, actually, for the time that I had of it, the music faded out perfectly.
Yeah.
And just worked perfectly with this whole back and forth twirl thing. So I'm very proud of my shorts video.
Nice. It was cute. Sissy that walk.
Mm-hmm.
Gary.
So I don't know what got into me recently. Oh, I know what it was. Somebody posted that it was B. Arthur's birthday recently. And had she lived, she would have been 81 or something like that. And so they posted and they said, in tribute to B. Arthur, who played Dorothy on the Golden Girls, here's a fun montage. So it's a fun video spliced together of some of her best one-liners from the Golden Girls show. And what I realized is in watching it is that if I was to be like dubbed one of the Golden Girls characters, I figured out I'm Dorothy. Because notoriously, and it's funny to see it in clips because now I get it. When Mark Cherry and the writers were making the show, they had a particular script set up, and notoriously Rose, who is considered the dumb blonde character, would not understand something or misunderstand something, and then Dorothy would correct her, but would always do it in a very like sassy, sarcastic way. So that was a classic setup style joke, and Dorothy was the one that was always like making the quips, so to speak. So if you want a little nostalgia, you can watch the 12 minutes of it. And what's nice about it is that they do a lead in of the full intro of the song from the show. Yeah. And then they also give credits at the very end. And the very end, I think, is nice. It's a little tribute. It's when Dorothy's character chooses to leave. Hmm. Like she is going to move out. I think she's going to get married and move in with Stan or something like that. And so it's the heartbreaking, you know, tearjerker that all the girls are gonna no longer be together kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's the end of the show and all that kind of stuff. It's cute.
Yay. I think that's it.
I agree. I think we've wrapped up another show.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting into this Golden Girls thing. So who's Rose and who's Blanche?
Oh, good God.
If you're Dorothy, Gary.
Like, you mean in my life?
No, here.
Oh. I don't know. I didn't think about it that way. I was thinking about how my friends and I relate to each other, and I'm the one that's always, like, being the sassy, sarcastic one with the one-liners.
But I still think you would be Dorothy here, too. Just saying.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
And if I were to say certain things, I think, you would be Dorothy, Gary. I think I would be Blanche, and Jeff would be
Rose.
Would be Rose. Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Jeff might be Sophia. Because Sophia always liked to tell stories.
Yeah.
This one time at band camp? No, that's
different stories. I can see that, too. I could also kind of see you as Sophia, too. But anyway. Yeah, okay.
So
anyway, moving on.
Show. God's sakes, finally it's over. The play is contact us. You can pop over to our website, cubsoutloud.com. You can also shoot us an email at cubsoutloud@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cubsoutloud. Don't forget the Facebook group for you guys, which is COL Entourage. Check in there. It's a private group, so we have to approve you, but we are all approving, so don't worry about that. Also, pop over to Twitter, twitter.com/CubsOutLoud. Google+, google.com/+CubsOutLoud. Also, join the new COL community, COL Entourage community there. Also, pop over to bearunderground.net and join the Cubs Out Loud group. Also, please pop over to iTunes. Leave us a review. We got 4 stars from PDX Bear Lover. Let's see another one of those. Actually, I would prefer 5 stars, but, you know, 4-star, 5-star, or 5-star, 4-star, whatever. Doesn't matter. We'd appreciate that very, very much. You can find us also on Stitcher Radio and give us a little thumbs up there. You can find me anywhere in the internet. It says Box Fat, Box Pucky, Box something or other. Also JeffreyAnderson.com, although I haven't been doing much yet there. So my shorts video is up there, I believe.
I am TheaterCub79 on Bear41, Bear Underground, HeftyNet, and Tumblr.
Oh, that's right. I'm also on HeftyNet. He was Box Puppy.
Yeah, and I can pretty much be found anywhere that I have a profile online as GareBear73, which includes Bear411, Bear Underground, HeftyNet, Tumblr, and I don't know what else.
Nice.
And with that, say goodnight, everybody! Goodnight!
Have a good one.
Up a podcasting selfie.
Huh?
What?
I posted a podcasting selfie.
Okay.
So you posted a selfie while you were podcast. Got it.